Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigative Podcast today. It's the Patriot Trainer. And the subject of the Life Investigation today is the history of the ministers, the preachers of the gospel that served in the Revolutionary War. Now, these men served in many different capacities. Obviously, many of them served as chaplains in the military. Some of them served basically as scribes for committees and for the forming of the American government for documentation and maybe some other clerical type duties that some other folks may not have had at that point in time. But many of them also fought. Many of them led troops into battle. And I think that's very important for us to recognize here today in 2023, because we are on the preface of extraordinary times. Just like in the days of the Revolutionary War, change had to come to this country. The tyranny had to stop. The imposition on our religious freedoms, their religious freedoms in that day had to stop. And truthfully, in 2023, we are really in not really any different situation. Yeah, we do have a founded, organized government now, but the government has gotten astray. The government is no longer run by the people, and we have lost in a sense. We have lost our independence, just like we were in days of old at the forming of this country, when we were subjugated to a king. This country was, and so when you're subjugated to a king, the king's desires are imposed upon you. And when you get evil kings, it's good if you're living in a country and in a time when you have a good king. But when you have a bad king disintegrates its own kingdom, its own society. I mean, it's been proven over and over and over and over during the years. So my point being this morning, I'm talking to you Christians. Some of you will argue with me that you shouldn't be involved in politics. And some of you will argue with me that pastors and ministers of the gospel, of the ordained ones of the fivefold ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, have no business being in politics. That is absolutely wrong. We are instructed to be good servants in all around the all-around aspects of our life through the Word of God itself. And we certainly see even the foundation of this country. This country was founded with a heavy, heavy biblical influence, Christian Bible. And it was extremely heavily oriented towards a deity, i.e. God, Jesus Christ, and the Word of Christ. So, and you liberals out there, you can dispute it all you want to, but you just really can't change the facts. And you can dispute the facts, but you can't change them. You can dispute and rewrite history in the books, but that still doesn't make it true. What happened happened. And that's just the bottom line. So I want to just try to keep this somewhat brief this morning, but I wanted to call out some names of ministers that were active and served in many different capacities during the Revolutionary War. There are many of them. I won't go over all of them. There was a reverend by the name of Moses Allen out of Midway, Georgia. James Francis Armstrong, a Presbyterian minister out of New Jersey. Francis Asbury, who eventually founded the Methodist Church, He was one of the first two bishops of the Methodist Episcopal Church in the United States. Isaac Backus, a Baptist preacher. Nathaniel Bartlett, a Congregational preacher. Backlash Burrett, a Presbyterian. James Caldwell, a clergyman out of New Jersey. John Carroll, a bishop, a Catholic priest in Maryland, and later the first Catholic bishop and archbishop of the United States and founder of Georgetown University. Miles Cooper, an Anglican priest. Jacob Douche, chaplain in the Continental Congress. And the list goes on. And this is in the list that I have pulled up from me from internet research this morning is not actually even a complete list, nor does it probably actually really represent the trueness of what really happened. I'm going to have to dig into some more in-depth research and investigation to really present the whole picture to you of how involved the church was in establishing the United States of America. And the United States of America, whether they will admit it or not, they need the church to start speaking up. Let me say that one again. The United States of America needs the Church of Christ to start speaking up again. When I say Church of Christ, I'm not referring to the denomination. I'm referring to those believers in Christ Jesus who have dedicated their life to Him and serving Him. We need to form together, to unify, make our voices truly heard. Now, I understand some of these Hollywood preachers, as I call them, these big TV ministries who have gotten really, quite frankly, too big for their britches. They really are too big, a lot of them, to really serve the true purpose of Christ and the church and what people really need. Not all of them, but some of them have. And some of them have gotten so far over into politics. I get it. I get why that's a turnoff, because they've found a platform, and quite frankly, many of them are making millions of dollars off of it, which I think Jesus is probably not too happy about. But anyway, you hear in political terms, and if you ever listen to the news media, you hear the term grassroots organization. It's a real catchy buzzword within politics and has been for many, many years now. So, but it's true. It's the people on the street here. Everyday Joe and everyday Janet that goes to work every day or takes care of their children, takes care of a house, and housewives and mothers. If you're staying home, a stay-at-home mother, then praise God for you and thank you for your service to this country and in being a godly mother. We like to thank our troops all the time, which thanking our troops is a great thing. Let's thank the rest of the foundation of this country that keeps it going too. You know, you're going to work today as a plumber. You're going to work today as a machinist, a lineman, a truck driver, a chef, a frontline server in fast food. Only thing I can say, you know, I hear a lot of people complain about fast food workers, and truly, we have lost our customer service aspect in a lot of things. But I'm thankful because I eat out a lot. We do because of our lifestyle. Not the healthiest thing to do, and we try to change that as much as we can. But man, when I'm hungry and I need something to eat, I'm thankful that there's somebody standing behind that fast food counter. And if they get my order a little bit wrong, okay. Now, I mean, if it's totally wrong or you didn't get anything, that's a different story. But I mean, okay. They forgot to put something on, or they put something on you didn't want. Just take it off. Come on now. Don't stop being so critical of people that just doing best they can in some respects. Now, there are some just extremely disrespectful punks out there, and I get it. But anyway, let's get back to the original form of this message. So let's look at one of these other, let's look a little more in depth. Let's look at Moses Allen. He sounds like an interesting character to me. Moses Allen was born in Northampton, Massachusetts, and educated at the College of New Jersey. He preached at Christ Church Parish in Charleston, South Carolina, and then moved to Savannah. Well, there's another northern guy that got the revelation real quick. It's better to be in the South. There he was ordained by Reverend John Zubley and William Tennant. And he went on to serve in Savannah. And while he was attending the Continental Congress in Philadelphia, he replaced another preacher in a congregational post. Now listen to this. This is interesting about this gentleman. In 1778, General Augustine Prevost, military commander of British East Florida, headquartered in St. Augustine, Florida, dispersed his society, this pastor's society, and burned the meeting house and many dwelling houses, etc. When Savannah, Georgia was taken, Reverend Allen was taken prisoner and sent on board the prison ships. He was very active in both exhortation and in actual service in the field. He was drowned in his attempt to escape. Now, that's what I call a preacher right there. He puts his faith on the line. He puts his backside where his mouth is, so to speak. Lays it all on the line. Goes out into the field to fight oppression, irregardless of what the repercussions may be. And when the overwhelming force took Savannah, he was taken prisoner, sent out to sea on a ship. And it was, I'm making some assumptions here. I need to research him further. But he preached on board. He exhorted the troops, the captures, the prisoners of war. And that's what he was. He was a prisoner of war. You got a man of faith like this. He's telling his other captives, keep the faith. Even when it looks like there's no use to keep the faith, we know because we serve a sovereign God that we keep the faith, folks. Everything in life is not always going to be ABC and tiptoe through the tulips. We all have tribulations to go through, and some are worse than others. And I will be perfectly blunt with you. I don't like going through tribulations. I don't like hard times. I don't like things not being the way that I want them. Nobody does. But irregardless of that, no matter how deep the valley has gotten, I got to tell you, I went through a pretty deep valley experience in the last 6 years. And although at times I wanted to not trust God, I knew it was imperative that I did trust God because there is no one else to trust. And then secondly, God has never failed me. He has always been there for me. What I have seen sometimes in my valley experiences is I'm the one that turns away from him, even if it's partially. You see, here's the thing about serving God. You got to be sold out. This sitting on the fence garbage doesn't work. It doesn't work for Jesus. He makes it very clear in the book of Revelation when he said, well, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit because I obviously don't speak Hebrew like Jesus did, and I'm sure I'm not anywhere near as eloquent with my speech as he was. But if he were here today speaking in a southern vernacular like me, he would say, listen here, Bubba, you need to get off the fence. And the Bible says, I would rather you be hot or cold. You make me want to spew you out of my mouth. And if he were speaking in a southern vernacular today, he'd say, listen here, Bubba, get off the fence. You get on that side of the fence, the bull's over there, and he's going to take care of you. You need to get on this side of the fence and go ahead and make a solid decision. But you got to go one way or the other. That fence ain't going to hold you up forever. And that's where too many American Christians, they stay on the fence all the time. They're just on the fence, on the fence, on the fence. They won't ever commit to anything because they're afraid, number one, they're going to make somebody mad. I don't know whether they're afraid they're going to make the government mad, the state.